notwithstanding an obviousness defense.
Counsel, why don't you jump right into the merits? Let's talk about written description and adapted to enter a groove. Tell me where the district court erred in granting summary judgment dismissing the Medtronic defense of no written description.
Well, the adapted to enter a groove limitation of Claim 1 was added 3 or 4 years after the patent was application was filed in order to obtain, in order to overcome several prior rejections. And there is nothing whatsoever in the written description of the patent, either as filed, the PCT application filed in 1999, or the national application filed in June of 2002, or even given, even adding the column and a half of new material, there is nothing whatsoever that describes adapted to enter a groove.
Counsel, your expert testified in his report, while cutting grooves for anchoring positions was known in the art at the time the patent was filed, there's no description. Do they have to describe everything that's well known to those of skill in the art at the time in order for it to satisfy the written description requirement?
Well, as this court has explained most recently on Bonk and Ariad, and in your opinion for the panel in ICU Medical, the written description requirement does, prior art doesn't overcome the function of the written description requirement. And more to the point,
which is possession. And so, well, why isn't the possession test satisfied where something is well known to those of skill in the art?
I mean, it's, I'm simply, the this court on Bonk and Ariad said, quote, If the claimed invention does not appear in the specification, the claim fails regardless of whether a person of skill in the art could make or use. And in fact, the court in Ariad...
So you're saying that information available to someone skilled in the art is irrelevant to what has to be in the specification?
With respect to the written description requirement, not enablement, but the written description requirement, this court has said repeatedly that it serves not only a possession function, but it serves a signposting function. In Ariad and in ICU Medical, you quoted the statement in Rochester that said, the purpose of the written description requirement is to ensure that the scope of the right to exclude, as set forth in the claims, does not overreach the scope of the inventor's contribution to the field of art as described in the patent specification.
Let me ask you an example. Suppose that in my specification, which is to a very complicated invention, there's one aspect of the invention I talk about joining two parts of it together with a screw. During prosecution, I cancel my claims, I amend them, and instead of saying screw, when my newly filed claims say fastener. Well, everyone of skill in the art knows a nail will work just as well as a screw in this invention, assume for my hypothetical. This is not an important part of this invention. This is ministerial and insignificant, has nothing to do with the novelty. But the spec never mentioned the word nail, and in fact, in the preferred embodiment, the only disclosure was, in fact, a screw. Are we going to say written description prevents you from using the word fastener in your claim, because the only thing in your spec was the word screw?
No, this is not a case in which the specification identifies, describes a species and there is a broader genus claim. There is, with respect to the adapted to enter a groove, there is nothing whatsoever in the specification that goes to that claim limitation, well, which was added at 11:59 p.m.
In your view, what should it say?
Well, We argued to the judge in the Markman hearing that it was indefinite, as opposed to...
What should it say? Tell me what was missing. How would they satisfy the written description requirement?
If you look at the 477 application, which was Dr. Marnay's earlier application, there are figures that show the grooves. There are figures that show how the anchors engage with the grooves. There are paragraphs of description about how the grooves are cut and several figures that show the tools and explain how it's done. There's no doubt that everybody skilled in the art...
Are you suggesting that there has to be some description of which grooves and how to cut the groove?
whether there is a groove or not. For example, there was no dispute in the record that persons of skill in the art understand that protrusions in metal prostheses that attach to bone can either be self-cutting, that is, they're simply pressed into the bone, or they can slide through a groove. Everybody in the art knew that either could be done. And by the same token, any protrusion, whether it's a spike, a peg, a keel, a rod, whatever, certainly can be slid into a groove of some sort. But there are all manner of grooves that will not really affix a protrusion, and vice versa. And the point here is that both SSI and the judge, with respect to this issue, said two things. They said, well, the 477 specification...
Yeah, the problem here is that it says adapted to enter a groove or whatever it is. It doesn't say what kind of groove. It
right.
doesn't say where the groove is. It
right.
sounds as though you're asking for specificity that's unrelated to the claim language.
Well, our point with this, and I think we of course have another written description failure with respect to operative engagement that I'd like to address, but our submission on this is only this. There is nothing. We take Ariad and this court's other written description requirements seriously. The 477 patent, and indeed the patent application for our OMAV, has pictures showing the fixation, pictures showing the grooves, and explications for how it's cut. This was thrown in following, I think, 3, 4, or 5 rejections at the very, this was the last amendment that procured the allowance by the examiner. And there is nothing in the written description at all. Forget inadequacy, there is nothing at all. And their whole defense
The problem is this, that we're not dealing with a process claim that talks about cutting a groove or achieving, it just says that this anchor has to be capable of entering a groove. It doesn't say where the groove is or what the particular groove looks like. It just says a groove. So why wouldn't, surely people skilled in the art know what a groove is.
There's no doubt that people skilled in the art know what a groove is. And I think the only thing I can say, and we'll rely on our submission here, is that the anchor, no matter, I have no idea what adapted to enter a groove means. We told the judge when they sought claim construction of this term that the term was indefinite and there was no written description in it. There is no such thing as a protrusion that can't be adapted to enter a groove of, what I'm having trouble with is I don't understand how the protrusion is adapted to enter a groove that hasn't been cut yet. It's so confusing to me. We didn't even...
Why doesn't it just presuppose a groove? Adapted to enter a groove, why don't you just say that presupposes that
I could make a groove that is 5 millimeters long and 3 millimeters wide with a protrusion that is 1 millimeter long and 0.5 millimeter wide, and it wouldn't serve any anchoring function at all. What's missing from this specification is exactly what Dr. Marnay put in the 477 application. And their entire defense and the basis for the judge's ruling is that the 477 specification was incorporated by reference, which it certainly was not under this court's case law.
But even putting that aside, there is still testimony by your own experts that supports the notion that someone would know what a groove is and how to put something into a groove. It may be that there are particular grooves or particular types of grooves that are unknown that would have to be described. That may be what was happening in the 477 application. But here, all it says is adapted, that is the anchor, to enter a groove. It doesn't say anything about what kind of groove. That's your problem.
Well, I think that's their problem. This was the limitation added at the very end of a very long prosecution following multiple rejections for obviousness on the anchor that procured the issuance. And I will rest on my argument on the papers with respect to adapted to enter a groove.